Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
We've been talking about portals and pathways, doorways of God, transitions, seasons, and changes. I want to follow up today with a message I call Voices, Noises, and Choices. Voices, noises, and choices. You can't say that three times fast. Anyway, Proverbs 8 is where we're going to begin from the Passion Translation. One of our folks in the church, Alina over here, a couple weeks ago when we started on Portals and Pathways, she said, I have a scripture. She said, there's a scripture that has both those words in it. I said, I didn't know that, so let me read it to you. Can't you hear the voice of wisdom, the Bible says, from the Passion Translation? From the top of the mountains of influence, she speaks into the gateways of the glorious city. At the place where pathways merge, at the entrance of every portal, there wisdom stands ready to impart understanding, shouting aloud to all who enter, preaching her sermon to those who will listen. My promise to you is this from the Word of God, that at every crossroads of your life, at every point of transition or change, the wisdom of God will be there waiting for you to listen. Now, the wisdom of God will not, he's not going to force himself. He'll not override your will. But if you're in a season of changes or suddenlies or transitions, or maybe your kids are about to go away to school, and you're becoming empty nesters in the next city, whatever. Maybe you're changing schools. Some of you students are changing schools this year, and it's really intimidating. This message is for you, because at every portal, at every doorway, at every pathway, Jesus is the way, and he will open the way and show you the way forward if you'll just listen. Wisdom is actually there speaking if you just take time to open your spiritual ears. Say amen. I want to weave in, here's my text for today. Our main text is 1 Kings chapter 18 from the Message. Tells a story of Elijah. It says, Elijah said to Ahab the king, up on your feet, eat and drink. It's time to celebrate. Rain is on the way. I hear it coming. Pastor Lindsay didn't know, by the way, that this was my message text, and that was in the new song that he said. Rain is on the way. I hear it coming. Ahab did it. He got up and he ate and drank. Meanwhile, Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, because the chocolate mountain was melting. But anyway, he bowed deeply in prayer. Somebody don't like Mount Carmel. Anyways, how about Mount Whipped Cream? Anyway, he bowed deeply in prayer, his face between his knees. That was really just a little golf clap kind of thing. It's okay. I just want to make sure you're awake. So if you're here, if you're newer, I just fire them out. And if you get them, whosoever will believe. Anyway, so... And if you don't get it, that's okay. But anyway, he bowed deeply in prayer, his face between his knees. This was a traditional Israeli birthing posture. Just want you to know that. Then he said to his young servant, on your feet now, look toward the sea. He went and looked and reported back, I don't see a thing. Keep looking, said Elijah. Keep looking. Seven times if necessary. And sure enough, the seventh time he said, oh yes, a cloud, but very small. No bigger than someone's hand rising out of the sea. Quickly then, on your way, tell Ab, saddle up and get down from the mountain before the rain stops you. Things happen fast, verse 45 says. Now, you don't find that a lot in the Bible. You find more than things happen fast, you find, and it came to pass. That's usually the way God does stuff. It's kind of a process. In this moment, Elijah knows the work in the Spirit is done. He's prayed through. He sent the servant to wait for the cloud, and the cloud is coming. But even the servant's like, it's kind of small. He said, no, that's it. And he said, I'm taking that. That's the one. And then it says, from that point on, things happen fast. I love that promise. The sky drew black with wind-driven clouds, then a huge cloudburst of rain, where they have hightailing in his chariot for Jezreel to his palace. And God strengthened Elijah mightily. The literal text is about the anointing of the Holy Spirit coming upon Elijah to run. And the Bible says, pulling up his robe and tying it around his waist, Elijah ran in front of Ahab's chariot until they reached Jezreel. One translation says he ran about 20 miles and he went faster than the horses and chariots. And he invented the first Nike track suit. He pulled up his robe and he tied it around and he swooshed. Anyway, so he went. Anyway, finally, I want to weave in 1 Corinthians 16 because talking about doorways and pathways and portals, you have to know this text. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 16:8, "But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, till the Holy Spirit comes. For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." Many adversaries. Great doors, many adversaries. Let's pray one more time. God, would you open the eyes of our heart to understand, take hold of your promises of your word, and in Jesus' name, come and fill us up, Holy Spirit. Take the service, whatever you want to do. You're the road. We're on your road today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're talking about portals and pathways this whole month. By the way, last week was fantastic. If you missed last week, our guest speakers from Israel, make sure you go online and check it out. It's in the archives at nowchurch.tv or nowchurch.com, either one, and you can see it. Very, very powerful, and we love our guests. We're so proud of them. Anyway, we're talking about moving forward in challenging times. You know, there are many times in life when you go through a dark season, a tough, challenging moment, when I just think back to the 34 years we've pastored here, this church, and there are times when all I could pray is, God, show me the way forward. What do I do now? I don't see it. I don't see how to get through this, but you can show me the way forward. That's what God is saying to many people. We're exploring the important subject this month of discerning the voice and direction of the Lord, how to hear from God, especially as we face challenging decisions filled with multiple choices. Well, how do you know God's will? How do you know if you're facing, and there are two jobs open up, how do you know if you stay with the one you got or you choose one of those? How do you know how to follow the will of God? Well, one of the first things we have to realize is that we're promised that the Holy Spirit, through Jesus, the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. He'll lead us the right way. He will guide us. And remember, Jesus' ministry, his earthly ministry, he began three and a half years of ministry with the people that he chose. He basically, in so many words, said this, follow me, follow me. And then he finished 3.5 years later to all of them with the Great Commission, go ye. So he said, follow me, and now go ye. So those are both directional things. We can always count on God to deal with us. By the way, he didn't say sit ye. He said, go ye. Okay, that's just a clue and a hint to where we're going with this. So we're exploring this subject. Last time we looked at the life of young King David 2 weeks ago on one of the worst days of his life at Ziklag. Today we're looking at the prophet Elijah on one of the best days of breakthrough in his powerful time of ministry. That's what we're going to talk about for a few moments. Elijah's life purpose to this point when we shared that story with you, to the point where the rain comes, was to prophesy an open heaven and bring back the rain of God's presence. He was the one that challenged Israel, come back to God. He said, how long, Israel, will you stand between two opinions? If the Lord is real, if he's God, then let's serve him with all of our hearts. And if he's not, go ahead and serve Baal, serve the enemy, serve the devil, and see what he'll give you. But the reality is we need God. We want to serve God. And then he challenges them. He has all these things happen in his life and ministry. But his main purpose was to prophesy the opening of the heavens after they'd been closed for 3.5 years and there was no rain on the earth. After 3.5 year drought, severe drought and famine, Elijah challenged the people of Israel to return to God. After he called on the God who answers by fire to fall from heaven and receive a holy sacrifice, Elijah battled the false prophets of Baal and single-handedly destroyed them. By himself, he destroyed 850 warlocks and wizards of Baal. And then, not only that, in our text we see him climbing this mountain to pray. And when I say pray, a lot of people think prayer is, you know, fold your hands, now I lay me down to sleep, or God bless this food, or whatever. Those are nice prayers, but that's not what Elijah did. Elijah I told you, he assumed a birthing position. He got into a place where he was birthing revival. He was birthing something for his nation. He was praying what we call faith-filled birthing intercession, intercessory prayer, prayer that changes things. Elijah prophesies then this new season of rain after he prays. He prays first. Prayer always comes first. Say that. Prayer always comes first. Right? Prayer comes first. Then he prophesies and says, listen, there's a new season of rain. I love that song we sang today. Pastor Lindsay's introducing about a new thing. A new thing is coming. I really believe we're on the verge of a whole lot of new things that God is up to, where it seems like he might have been quiet for a time. I believe God is about to get very verbal, vocal, and loud on some things, and it's very exciting. Prayer that changes things births new seasons in the Spirit. Now, at first, he sends his servant up to the mountain to look at it, and nothing changes. It appears nothing changes, but he knows he's prayed through to the note of victory, and he goes on, no, look again seven times if necessary. Just keep going until you see something. And I want to say that to many of you who think that God is not doing anything or answering your prayers right now because he's been quiet in the past season. Can I tell you? Go look again. Go look again. Go look again. If I don't see anything, Pastor, then look again. If you don't see anything, then you haven't looked long enough. And you haven't looked with the eye of faith and the heart to say, God, you promised, and I'm looking on the horizon for the next thing you want to do. God wants to do something great. We've got to be ready to do it, ready to prophesy, but ready more than that to see it come into existence. As soon as the servant finally sees one small cloud of hope, the supernatural power of God falls on Elijah. He gets one confirming witness. Okay, there's a cloud, but boss, it's not very big. It's about the size of a man's fist. Elijah said, that's it. We got it. Go tell Ahab, if he doesn't get back down to the palace, he's going to get stuck in the mud because it's about to rain, and all that dust bowl out there is about to be thick and wet with the wetness of God's presence and God's power. His blessing is coming again. Say amen. Amen. And then Elijah takes off in a run for the king's palace. Now, it sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? But like God came on Samson in feats of physical strength and came on Daniel to tame lions into house cats, Elijah's special anointing on his life is to run faster than a team of horses for about 20 miles. He's like a marathon man. He outruns horses and chariots and makes it to the king's palace before he gets there to tell him, I told you so. I told you so. And some of you don't like to hear I told you so, but there are moments where God reminds us, hey, I told you that was going to happen. Why didn't you just believe me? And so he outruns him to tell him, and it is glorious and victorious. This is the best day of his entire ministry life. He fulfills a big part of his prophetic purpose. And then the story changes. Darkness falls over Elijah's heart because he, in that fulfillment, something happens. So now I'm done talking about his greatest day, and I'm talking about reality of life. That even people on mountaintops can slip into a valley pretty quickly, and you got to keep your eyes on God. Elijah runs, he fulfills, he does it, it's glorious. And then history takes a dark turn when Ahab's wife, the infamous Jezebel, hears what's happened, goes into a demonic rage. She's into witchcraft. She's into astrology and serving Baal, and she conjures up evil forces and sends a messenger, the Bible says, to kill Elijah, to pronounce his death, to tell him and put fear on him. Can I tell you something? When you're under attack, one of the first things you see is confusion. God, the Bible says in the New Testament, is not the author of confusion. God's the author of peace. So when confusion abounds, the Bible says in the book of James, it's every demonic work and selfish ambition is there. Elijah gets to this place, and when this woman, one woman, he's just defeated. Listen, he's been on the mountaintop. He has destroyed single-handedly 850 prophets of Baal. This is no wimpy guy. He has prayed through. He's fulfilled his destiny up to this point. And then these words of witchcraft, combined with the fact that he had fulfilled his mission, have an immediate effect upon his spirit and results in the next part of 1 Kings 19, we would call it in modern day depression. He goes through depression. He goes through a funk. He goes through a dark season, a dark cloud. Words have power. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Can I tell you, you can be really up, but there are moments where the enemy would love to just speak evil words over your life. Sometimes people who love you say dumb things. Not just to you, but about you. And words have power. Words can lift and words can tear down. Think of the word depression. Depression is it to be pressed downward. Depression. These words of witchcraft have this impact on him. I want to remind you this as we move forward, is that great vulnerability often follows great breakthrough. Now, I'm not afraid of it. I'm not afraid of it, and you shouldn't be afraid, but you should be prepared. The Bible says, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird yourself up. Put on the whole armor of God that you can withstand the evil day. What's an evil day? The day when everything is turns from the greatest day of your life to a hellstorm. Something's going on, and Elijah, on a dime, his life starts spiraling downward. This mighty man of God, and he thinks that he's down for the count. We often warn our missions teams. After you go on a missions trip, when you get home, don't be afraid, but you better be prepared spiritually. Don't just get home and go, the missions trip is over. I can rest now. You need to rest, but you need to stay girded up in prayer. You better be aware, because the enemy hates when you've accomplished something and knows that there's a vulnerability in that moment. This is for somebody at home as well. You have a place in your life where you fulfilled part of your goal, part of your dream, but the part of your goal and dream, it's just part. Even though you may not see the rest yet, you have to go, you have to find out what is in the heart of God for the next thing, because the Bible says without a vision, people perish. You got to, without a vision, people cast off restraint. Vision propels purpose. Vision propels purpose. And if you don't keep something in your mind and you come to this place of fulfillment of goals, it's great. But a lot of times, reaching a long-term goal like receiving a promotion or position can leave us feeling a little bit empty on the inside if we're not careful. We almost get so focused on what we're trying to do on this earth. Even though you love God, there's a moment where you take your eyes off of Him and you put it on what you're trying to do. And then what you try to do is finally completed. God did it. He fulfilled His purpose in you in that moment. And then if you don't have a what's next, the enemy sometimes hits you with the kitchen sink. Bam! And then you're reeling. And that's what happened to this mighty man of God. I think of Deion Sanders describing his first Super Bowl, winning his first Super Bowl with the 49ers back in the day. And he went home after all the parties, all the accolades, all the interviews, and found himself in a deep emptiness. Because he'd fulfilled all of his goals, but he didn't sense fulfillment. He just sensed, well, now what? And that's the point Deion Sanders gave his life to Jesus and fully surrendered his heart to God. Find joy in the Lord and discovering His what's next. Find your joy. Get your joy. But the joy of the Lord is your strength. You got to get your joy back, though, not in the fact you did something or accomplished something or that season is done, but you got to get your joy back in the Lord, in your relationship with Him. Listen, it is about relationship, not religion. Quit doing little religious doodads and start trusting God and believe Him and keep walking with Him. It is a walk. Sometimes it's a run, but most of the time it's a walk. 1 Kings chapter 19 tells us the whole rest of the incident. Instead of using his running anointing, his running gift. The Bible says when Elijah heard Jezebel's words of death and destruction, he ran for his life. He's a runner, but he's now misusing his anointing to run away in fear and running away literally from what God has done, what God is doing, who God is. Thankfully, it becomes a journey of recovery and restoration. And that's what all of our journeys need to be. The portals and pathways are to restoration and recovery. The portals and pathways are to a better day, a brighter day. The Bible says the path of the righteous burns brighter unto the coming of the perfect day. The better day, the brighter day. Knowing there's a brighter day is the promise of hope, and we've got to have hope. The world is a noisy place. Pastor Chris said earlier about people listening to voices and all the knuckleheads and all the stuff going on in the world. The world's a noisy place. It's filled with words of intimidation, words of fear, words that would tear you down in a heartbeat. Too many voices, too many opinions. Depression, that pushing down. The Bible says, guard your heart. So Elijah, in that place, begins to make a few blunders along the way that I want to point out. As he finds his way back to God in recovery, he makes a few mistakes. He runs to Beersheba, and the Bible says, quote, he left his servant there and went another day's journey into the wilderness alone. I want to say this to you very carefully. Isolation, withdrawal, is a sure sign that you're under spiritual attack. Now, a lot of you have a tendency, I didn't hear a lot of amens on that one. Anyway, that's all right. A lot of people have a tendency when they're going through something, they get bad news, whatever, they just pull back. They pull away and they pull back. I understand that for a minute. You may need a 10-second timeout or a 30-minute timeout. You may need a minute. If you're a person that's given to rage and anger, yeah, take a minute. But your healing is not going to be in being isolated and alone. The Bible says it's iron that sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Husbands and wives, you need each other more when you're under attack than you do even when things are going well. You need each other all the time. But husbands and wives, I want to speak specifically to you, because right now you have to understand that the tendency is when something bad happens, we go our separate ways and pull apart. But the Bible says in our unity is our strength, is our power, is our anointing, is our trust in God. Quit pulling away from God and start running toward him in those moments when you feel vulnerable, when you feel depressed, when you feel downcast. Elijah left his servant and went a day's journey, another 20 miles into the woods, and found himself alone and isolated. Withdrawal from godly friends, family, local church, wise counsel will only spiral you down further. The word said this way, woe to him who's alone when he falls, for there's nobody to help pick him up. Understand that God wants to do something great, but it begins. Listen, Proverbs 18:1 says, he who isolates himself seeks his own desire. I want to read it to you from the Amplified Bible. He who willfully separates and estranges himself from God and man seeks his own desire and pretext to break out against all wise and sound judgment. In other words, I told you earlier from the very first passage today, wisdom is always crying out at every intersection of your life, at every point of change, at every point of transition and things going sideways or just going different, at every point of transition in our lives, the wisdom of God, his promises, the wisdom of God will be there calling out, hey, it's me, it's wisdom, it's the wisdom of God, I'll help you with this. But in that isolation, we push that wisdom away because we start seeking our own selfish, no, I know what I want. Well, be careful, you might just get it. You might just get what you want. You know, sometimes people want to be married in the worst way and wind up being married in the worst way. Don't get desperate for that. For you single folks, God has divine relationships, families, and friendships. You're not less. You're not half a person if you're single. Maybe you're going through a divorce or a separation, or you've been widowed or recently or whatever. God says, your maker shall be your husband. Your maker. Your God will be your father. He's the father to the fatherless, the husband to the husbandless. My friends, whatever you need in every season of life, God will be there for you. But you got to quit feeling sorry for yourself in the moment and focusing too much on what you don't have. This is part of depression. We start spiraling out. Elijah just had his best day ever. And now he's totally focused on what he doesn't have. And it's taking him down. Even a mighty man. Think of Billy Graham in our generation. Many of you know Billy Graham. Just a national hero. Elijah was the Billy Graham to Israel of his own generation, and winds up in a downward spiral, depressed, and it gets worse. It gets worse. The Bible says he finally sits down under a broom tree, which I say he's trying to make a clean sweep. Anyway, he says, I've had enough. He says, he prays this. He says, God, I've had enough. Go ahead and kill me now. Read the scripture. He says, I want to die. Just take me right to heaven. I had my great day. I had that. Just take me. Aren't you glad God doesn't always give us what we pray for? In our moments of like desperation and like saying stupid things. Think about this. He has just brought revival to the whole nation of Israel. And within a few hours, he's in despair and nearly suicidal. Now what? Here's an amazing thing about the grace of God. No matter what you've done, how good or how bad, how pure or impure, righteous or unrighteous, once you make that relationship with the Lord and accept his love for you, he will never leave you or forsake you. Even under the old covenant, Jesus hadn't been to the cross yet. But even in that moment, the Holy Spirit was still dealing with this guy Elijah in that moment. How do we know? Because grace kicks in. A series of things begin to happen that Elijah has no control over. He's just praying to die. Lord, go in and kill me. The Bible says an angel comes. First thing the angel does is give him a power nap. How many like a power nap? I do a Sunday afternoon power nap because I get up so early on Sundays, and I'm looking forward to it now. I promise I'd do it before the message is over. He gets a supernatural sleep. And then the angel wakes him up. So maybe you're not going to like this like I do, but angel wakes him up and says, it's time for cake. Now, I don't know about you, but I can get behind some cake. I always tell my friends that I love cake so much, even when I'm eating healthy, I'm like one slice of cake away from backsliding. Now, this is not, my favorite cake is chocolate cake with white icing. Somebody call it devil's food, not me. But this is definitely angel food cake, because the angel makes it, the Bible says he made it on coals. I'm not sure how barbecued cake tastes, but anyway, I'm up for a try. So grace kicks in, Elijah gets a power nap, and angelic help. Can I tell you the promise of God about angelic help? When you can no longer do for yourself, God will send someone on the scene. And if you're isolated, he'll still send angels. If you just look. The angel wakes him up, tells him to eat what he prepared for him and drink from a jar of fresh water. A jar, not a thimble, not a little cup, not a shot glass, a jar of fresh water. I love that. You know, my pastor Steve Kelly says that God said to Elijah, take a break and eat some cake. Sometimes you just need to take a break and eat some cake. That's part of recovery. So after he eats cake, he goes back to sleep again, and the angel gives him another supernatural sleep. Sometimes your body actually needs to kind of catch up with what's been going on. You know, years ago, some of you know the story, but years ago, I burned up my adrenal glands, almost 20 years ago now. 2005, we were trying to build a building. I was raising money all over the world, preaching like a crazy person. I started out that in January of 2005 in Japan, and I got food poisoning over there because the nice Japanese pastor wanted me to enjoy the comforts of home and took me to KFC to eat fried chicken that wasn't fully cooked. And I was sick for like 2 weeks in Japan. It was awful. That set my health on a downward spiral that year. And it was a tough year. I traveled more than I ever traveled. I was all over the place. I was trying to raise money for the building we were going to do back then. All stuff was going on. And I got to, I've told this story in a long time. I got to Germany by November of 2005. And Pastor Lindsay and my wife and my son Ricky, we were together, the four of us. And we were preaching in Germany. And I started to get this cough. And it was kind of windy and drafty over there. And I got bronchitis. And anyway, I was supposed to preach. We were going to leave Germany. We were going to fly to Vienna, Austria to preach. And then we were finally coming home. And we got to the Frankfurt airport. And down to the at the end of this long hallway in Frankfurt airport, there's a place where you have to choose if you want to go within Europe or if you want to go international back to America. And there's literally a wall. And you choose either left or right. And we had had to get up at 2:30 in the morning to catch this flight to Vienna. And I knew I was burning up with fever and everything else. And I looked at my wife and I said, I gotta go this way. I gotta go home. And I never canceled preaching meetings. I very seldom my whole life have I ever canceled a meeting. I said, honey, I gotta go home. She said, you want us to go with you? I said, no, I'm gonna go. You guys go to Vienna and try to preach for that church and help them as best you can. I got to go. I'm sick. So I got Delta to let me get on the plane, get me a seat. I got home. I went to a great doctor in the villages who focused not just on giving medicine, but, you know, supplements and you know, natural healing first. And I got to him, and I took all these blood tests and stuff. He goes, you know, you're sick. I said, yeah, I knew that coming in. I just flew, you know, 5,000 miles. I know I'm sick. He goes, I've seen more cortisol in a corpse. He said, you've burned out your adrenal glands. You've been running on adrenaline for so long, so much. He said, when they talk about burnout, he said, this is physical burnout. Your adrenal glands in your body, you have no immune system. It's done. And he goes, the good news is I know exactly what to do, but you're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to come. I don't want you on the road preaching for the next, I think, 6 months or a year. Do you remember Pastor Chris? I think it was 6 months at first. He said, I want you cancel all engagements for 6 months. I want you home, and I want you here once a week, and we're going to pump you full of IVs, and we're going to get you better, and you're going to be well. And it took me the better part of a year to get back to where I had been before. But I had literally burned up my adrenal glands, and I felt like Elijah. I had no strength to do anything. He said, my doctor said to me at that time, he said, do you ever work out? I said, I work out every day. He said, I don't know how you work out. He said, you have no, there's nothing in your body that is supposed to even give you energy to work out. He said, you're just burning yourself out. You're done until we can rebuild you. My friend, sometimes it's natural things. Part of it is I had to catch up on sleep. I just go to sleep, and I had to learn. Part of that time, I was only sleeping like 4 or 5 hours a night, and I was just like a caged animal. I was a praying machine. I was a preaching machine. Most people didn't even know till they heard me coughing. Stuff was going on, but I was not well. Thank God I stand before you today, healthy and whole, almost 20 years later. I'm 63 years old and I feel 48, but that's impossible because my son is 43. But anyway, I feel 48. For those of you that aren't 48 yet, you don't know what that feels like. But 48 is a good age. I feel good, but it's by the grace of God. And there are moments I had to do what God said, which was hard to do. How many know if you're dependent on traveling ministry for income and suddenly you cancel all your dates, that means your finances dry up. But God took care of us. See, there's all kinds of things that are nuanced in this. Maybe you have similar story in different things. But I want you to realize in those moments, grace, the wisdom of grace is crying out. And God begins to say in the story of Elijah, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? At this intersection, you know, when God asks you a question, it's never because he doesn't know the answer. When God asks you a question, it's not because he's asking for information. He's God. When God asks you a question in your heart, it's a rhetorical question. He's trying to make a point to you. Why do you think you're here, Elijah? What are you doing here? And Elijah doesn't catch the drift. He starts talking back to God. Well, let me tell you, God. And he starts going through this verbal pity party. Let me tell you, God, this is, and this happened, and this, I did this for you, and this, and this. And then he finishes with, and I'm the only one left. I'm the only one in all of Israel that's faithful. God doesn't answer it that way at that moment. But the voice of the Lord tells him to go to the mountain. And he goes in the strength of this other, this second cake, takes him and strengthens him. The Bible says for 40 days he doesn't have another meal. It must have been some cake. He gets Red Bull cake. And it carries him for 40 days to the Mount Horeb. And he goes another run for God this time. But when he gets there, the voice of the Lord talks to him again. What are you doing here? And the voice of the Lord tells him, wait for the word of the Lord. Wait for the word. 1 Kings 19:11 from the Message says this. I'm almost done. He was told, go stand on the mountain at attention before God. I want to focus on that for a second. Attention before God. Focus on what he's doing. God will pass by. A hurricane wind ripped through the mountains and shattered the rocks before God, but God wasn't to be found in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake hit, but God wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but God wasn't in the fire. And after the fire, a gentle and quiet whisper. One translation says, a still small voice. My friends, too many people in our generation, even spirit-filled believers, are living by omens. We're looking for signs. The Bible says these signs will follow them that believe. Not believers shall follow signs. I'm all for confirmation, but the confirmation begins with the word of God, not the fact that a tree fell over left to their left side, and now you believe you're supposed to go to China on Thursday. No. Don't follow signs. Follow the word of God. Trust in God. Have relationship with him. So in this moment, he's looking for God in the earth, wind, and fire, and it didn't happen. Do you remember? 25th of September? Yeah. He has ears to hear, let him laugh. We're talking about receiving direction from the Lord. And Elijah, he's looking for the omens. But God speaks in a whisper on the inside. And the Bible says he takes his coat, representing his whole, his mantle, his ministry, his mission, and he wraps his head in it. I don't know if all the earth, wind, and fire was still moving and dancing around, but he heard a lot of noise, but he had to focus from the noise on the focus on God himself and hearing the whisper of the Holy Spirit. And in that whisper, that still small voice, through Jesus within you now, God will always confirm his word. Sometimes the voice of the Lord booms like thunder, and most of the time it's a whisper. It's a still small voice. People will say to me, Pastor, how do you hear from God? All I can tell you is that I know, that I know, that I know, that I know something that's consistent with the word. I know it like I know my name. I know that I know. And if my wife knows that she knows that she knows that I know that I know that I know, and we're in unity on that, it's always God. Amen. When we're open to him. But I want to say this to you. It's got to be, one, consistent with Scripture. God will never contradict his word. He will never tell you something contrary to his own express written will in his word. Number two, he'll establish it with two or three witnesses. You'll see a pattern of something in two or three witnesses. And number three, that word that God will give you and that confirmation of his word will give you hope and direction. If you're feeling condemnation, hopelessness, or despair, that's never God. When God speaks, there's now therefore no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Listen, do not listen to all the voices out there that are heaping blame on you. At the end of the day, there's a moment where you have to trust God. And by the way, in that still small voice, the Lord whispers something funny. By the way, you're not the only one left. I've got 7,000 in reserve who've stayed faithful just like you. Just when you think you're going to get prideful, God says, no, I got 6,999 other replacements. Somebody's going to get this message through, even if you don't. Be still and know that God is God. Often the hardest thing to do when you're in a challenging situation is to not do anything without God's direction. Wait on the Lord. Trust in him. I'll finish with this. Lean into grace. Lean into his grace. Lean into his mercy. His grace is sufficient. Listen, it's by grace through faith. Grace is God's part. Faith is your part. Faith is trusting him. Trusting him even when it doesn't feel like he's doing anything. Even when I don't see it, he's working. Even when I don't feel it, he's working. God is moving. God is working. Lean into grace. Press into your salvation. Your part is believing and receiving. Quit complicating everything. Get out of your own head. Get still. Get quiet before God. Wrap your face up in focus. Sometimes God seems quiet because you haven't obeyed the last thing he whispered to you to do. I'm going to get a drink there. You should think about that. Sometimes you're looking for, God, I want a word. I want to know. Give me a scripture. Give me a promise. And the whisper of God is, I told you before and you didn't do anything. Do the last thing he told you to do and then ask to hear more. In the stillness, Almighty God of heaven clearly lays out Elijah's purpose for the next season. He's not done with him. His greatest days are not behind him. They're still ahead. Here's what you're going to do now, Elijah. You've been so busy, it's going to take three young men that you're going to impart to fulfill everything that I told you would happen in your ministry. You're going to raise up these three guys, including Elisha, as prophet in your place. You're going to raise up three others. Raise up the next generation. Don't be shocked if and when your open God door stirs up opposition. When you have opposition, sometimes that's confirmation you're in the will of God. Somebody says, well, you know, we were going to do this. We felt God said this, and it got hard, so we quit. Well, that's not the right response. When God gives you something, it can get hard. It can get difficult. If it's too easy, you need to make sure you check yourself. And if you're really hearing from God, because if there's no resistance, then what is it? The question is not whether God still speaks today, but how are you at following simple directions and trusting in him alone? It's time to lean into his grace. Let's pray. Bow your head and close your eyes for a moment. Let's have a moment of privacy, because I think I'm preaching to the right people. I think some of you may have been going through something. Now, I want to say this to you. Some of you, you're going through a peaceful season right now. I hope you took notes today, because you're going to need this at some point. But others of you, you can already relate. This is God trying to download some stuff to you to help you through the season you're in now. And I want to say this, if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that's the first place. The first step in the right direction is Jesus, not religion, Jesus. You can come and know Jesus. It's not a formal thing. It's a real coming of age moment where you're taking accountability for your own life and say something like, Jesus, if you're real. At 19 years of age, I gave my heart to the Lord. I just said, Jesus, if you're real, God, I said something like this, God, if this whole Jesus thing is real that people have told me about, show me for myself, because I can't pretend. I can't play a game. I can't be a hypocrite. I can't just be a guy that acts like a Christian at church and then goes and lives like crazy in the world. I can't do it. I got it, but I've got to experience you for myself. And the moment that I did that, something went from my head to my heart. Something shifted. It wasn't huge at first, but it was a still small voice that was now not just outside of me, it was within me. And you can give your heart to Jesus today. Just say, Jesus, I need you. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me for my sin, for doing it myself. Forgive me for running the other direction, for isolating myself, whatever it is you've been doing. Forgive me, Lord. I've been trying to do it all, but I need you to come live inside of me. But Jesus said, he'll stand at the door of your heart and he'll knock. And if you'll open a little bit, he'll come in. That's the beginning. And I want to take the final couple of moments I have to minister to people. Keep your head bowed, your eyes closed for a minute, because I want to make this real private, because people that are in struggle, we're not trying to advertise that. We're not trying to embarrass anybody. In just a moment, I'm going to pray for everyone who is currently in a spiritual storm, an attack situation. In order to know that, I'm not going to have you raise your hand or come up to the front, but I'm going to go section by section. And if that's you, maybe you're at home in the camera, I want you to do this as well. All I want to do is I want you, if that's you, middle section of the congregation right now, if that's you in the middle section, if you're under attack, I just want you to lift up your eyes and look me in the eye until you know I've seen you. Okay? I want to see your eyes, and then you can put your head back down, but make sure I've seen you first, because I want to know who I'm praying for. I want to know who I'm praying for. I want to see anybody. Lift your eyes. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, guys. I see you. Kathy, I see you. Anybody else? I see you back there. Section over here in front of Pastor Lindsay. If that's you, just lift up your eyes. I want to see you, connect with you for a split second. I want to pray for you. But you don't. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, okay? Just, I see you, I see you, I see you, I see you, sir. I see you, I see you, I see you, I see you. I see you back there. I'm already praying for you. I see you. Okay? This side over here, back in my section. If that's you, just lift up your eyes. I just want to connect with you for a second. God already knows, but I just like to know who I'm praying for. But I just don't ever like to embarrass anybody, put anybody on the spot. This is a private moment. I see. I see you. I see you. I see you. Back there, I see you. Anybody else? I see you. Okay. All right, you put your heads back down. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, you've seen every situation, both in the room and people connecting with us online. And Father, I pray for a fresh season of grace, because every one of those people that lifted their eyes, lifted their heads, needs that new day that was promised, as we sung about it earlier. Now I break every assignment of hell. I break every assignment of words of darkness, death, and witchcraft. We break the words of the enemy. We pray according to Psalm 55, as David prayed, Lord, destroy their words and divide their tongues that rise up against us in judgment. We declare according to Isaiah 54, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that has risen against you in judgment. See, it's words, it's word-based. Every tongue that has risen against you in judgment, we adjoin you to condemn it in the name of Jesus. We join you to condemn those words, for this is your inheritance as a child of God, a servant of the Lord. This is your inheritance, that these words have no power over your life. In Jesus' name, we pray healing for marriages. We pray healing for finances. We pray deliverance from depression. We release the joy of the Lord that is your strength. We call forth the things we sung about earlier, that God, in this cloud, the rain brings everything we need. And Lord, we worship you and honor you, and we praise you in advance. I don't know who it is, but I'm just going to say it. You've gotten a bad report from the doctor. This is not an ongoing thing. I know some of you have been in some long battles. This is something happened in the past week or two, and you were given a diagnosis of something. It may be for you. It may be for a close person, too. Maybe for a friend or family, whatever. I want to say to you that you're going to have to rebuke those words. Even though you trust your doctor and you're going to do, you need to do what the doctor is saying, but you need to understand that the doctor's job is to look for the worst case scenario. Your job is to look for the promises of God. And right now, I come against that evil report and those words from the doctor right now, and we release your healing. We release your power. We release the presence of God into every situation and circumstance in which you find yourself. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Peel, do you have anything in your spirit? Okay. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm praying you got a breakthrough today. I'm praying this is a shift. Amen. I had a word first service. I'm going to say this again. If there's any young people that are about to have to change schools and you're nervous about that, that's kind of a shift. It's a transition. You're worried about your friends and all. I just want to tell you, if you live for God and be a light, you're going to have better friends at the next school than you did at the previous school. But you got to trust him. And I know it's uncomfortable sometimes. Change is uncomfortable by its very nature. Trust God in the shift because he's going to bring it to pass. Okay? Amen. Give him praise if you got something today. Lord, we give you honor and praise. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you,